When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
Bold. And it's Tony Adams put through by Steve Bold. Would you believe it? That sums it all up.
Hello, I'm Alan Davis. You are listening to the Tuesday Club. This is the Arsenal podcast, and I've got Keith Dover with me this morning. Woo! How are you, Keith?
I'm fine, Alan. Are you well? I'm well.
I am well.
I am very well. But I have disturbing news. I've discovered how the COVID virus spread around the world. Apparently, some fool opened up the Spurs trophy cabinet. being that there's nothing in there other than just disease and pestilence, you know, they thought they'd give it a clean because they expected to win the Premier League. And then what happened is they opened it and all this come out, which similar happened when the Spanish flu started. They'd done the same thing again, thought they'd give their trophy cabinet a good old clean out. And all this dust and everything that's been in there for 60 years has come out into the world.
Oh, no. Oh, it sounds a bit like when they opened the Blue Peter time capsule.
Yes.
And it was just full of sludge. Is that what
that?
Probably the Tottenham trophy cabinet's worse than that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good. Damien Harris is here. How are you doing?
Hello, very good. Thank you very much.
Did you know that the coronavirus started in Tottenham's trophy cup? I mean, it's very difficult to open, I'd have thought. Prizing it open, maybe placing a small charge on the lock.
Well, what, wasn't there a story that it was Les Ferdinand who
lost the key?
Dug up the Blue Peter time capsule.
Oh, did he? Oh, well, that maybe Les will have to go and open the Tottenham trophy cabinet.
Yeah, there was a story that it was him, apparently, that he dug it up.
Oh, would you mean when the Blue Peter garden was vandalised?
Yeah, there's a story. I think it's, I'm not sure whether it's Dennis Wise and him, but I'm sure Les Ferdinand is involved somewhere. So there's a, uncanny
Sort of born
connection.
And raised in West London.
Yeah.
This is a QPR boy, wasn't he? You are! I miss going to football today. Today I really felt it. I look at the fixtures and I think, you know, if Orient are playing at the moment, I'll get twitchy. I even thought about going to Gillingham. I haven't been to Gillingham since God knows when, you know.
Super Gills.
One game this season, bloody Burnley at home. but even that, we went to the pub before and had a meal and a few drinks and a laugh, and it's getting a bit much now, isn't it, really? And that was absurdly socially distanced. They made us sit in the rain rather than sit within 2 feet of someone who hadn't got coronavirus.
And sitting in the rain on a cold, wet night is not guaranteed to give you the flu or any kind of...
No, exactly.
All sorts of other diseases we were susceptible to.
Well, they're starting to... Norman did a gig in Liverpool, so they did a test club night. In Liverpool.
Don't mean Norman Price from Fireman Sam?
Yeah, of course.
Who? Norman Price. Oh, sorry, Sam. I didn't mean to set fire to the post office. Norman Price, Swansea City were going to be promoted. And now because of you... See, that's what happens. That's what happens when you can't get to the football. You become obsessed with what's going on in Ponty Pandy. I don't know what we're talking about.
No idea.
That's one for the parents of young children who are listening in.
Us childless are looking very confused.
Go and watch a few episodes of Fireman Sam.
Okay.
Fireman Sam. We do. We'll
get Sam. Norman Place.
Sam's
but
gone.
You don't mean that. You mean Norman Cook of the House Martins.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, yes, he played of the House Martins. Yeah, he'd like that. They did a gig, and so everyone was tested before they went in. They will get tested again in 2 days' time.
A dance floor gig?
Yes. Oh, yeah, full, proper, normal club.
Full body contact dance floor?
Yep, yep, proper. Yeah. So,
Ease and whiz all round?
All just, yeah, handed out at the beginning. Yeah. Actually, there is footage of someone who took all of theirs at the beginning. ITV trying to do a nice report on, and here we are, clubbers coming back. And there's some scouser absolutely twatted who can't stand up behind. Brilliant.
Other regional.
This is me and my region. It was in Liverpool.
Stereotypes are available.
It was in Liverpool.
I
wasn't just picking on.
A city that we know and love, a wonderful city.
You had to be from Liverpool.
You had to be able to say you go whiz and the coronavirus test. So you do the coronavirus test first.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then you've clogged
ease
up your system with some stimulants.
Yeah, and a bit of ket. And
Red Bull, Campari and Red Bull.
So you got to do a test after the gig as well. That's going to be interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. Hang on a minute. All the lights have come on.
Who am I? What's going on?
You cannot operate heavy machinery for the next 25 years. Oh, so that's you think a possible indicator that we might be able to get back in the Emirates. There's talk about the last two games of the season.
Yeah.
Allowing fans in, I think ours are Crystal Palace away and Brighton at home. And some fans may be allowed into Selhurst Park. Always a pleasure. Mm. And 500 possibly Arsenal fans. And then possibly 10,000 fans in for the last game of the season against Brighton, which I imagine will be a meaningless mid-table clash. Or they might need the points. We might be... gunning for Thursday night football again and trying to finish.
There is a big danger with us carrying on winning, right? Massive danger. You don't want to come seventh, because if you come seventh, you're going to drop into the new third-tier Europa League competition.
Now, is that called, have I misheard this, is that called the football combination?
Conference.
I thought they were bringing back the football combination.
Well, that would have been good if they did.
You know, for that, there was more interest, I shit you not, in the football combination in the 70s than there will be in the conference, whatever the hell that
whatever is. Whatever it is, yeah.
So is that a separate cup?
It's like a third version of the Europa League. But that, now the thing is, you know, in the Champions League, the third team drops down into the Europa League. Well, in the Europa League, the team that comes third in their group, Dave, drop down into the new Europa Conference.
Oh, Thursday night hell continues.
So when do you play that? Thursday mornings, I suppose.
It's apparently it's even more convoluted than the Europa League.
11 o'clock at night. It's the late night slot. It's like the equivalent of the radio DJ getting shunted. Your 1 a.m. 1 a.m. till 4 is available. Oh, is it? What a surprise! Then you hand over to Wacky Dave at 4 with the breakfast crew. Oh, yeah, pulling an all-nighter, just coming straight to work, that lot. Yeah, that's all I need. I'm doing the combined football combination commentaries. So we don't want to be seventh.
No.
God's sake.
No.
Well, we won't be, mate.
I think we're all right for that. Right. I think we're quite safe.
We're going to do well to hang on to ninth here. We're fending off ambitious clubs coming up from below, including, in Mikel Arteta's words, one of the best teams in the league, Leeds United. Their crazy bucket-dwelling manager. And their very, very well-spoken number nine.
He is very posh, isn't he?
He's a lovely fellow.
He's a nice chap.
No, they're the Bamford family, you know, they're billionaires. Did you know that?
No.
The Bamford, the B of Bamford is the B in JCB.
Really?
And I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean, you'd have thought, just because you sell diggers that you're a billionaire. I don't quite. That's a lot of diggers.
Yeah, but there are a lot of diggers in the world.
A lot of diggers. So he's related to these. That he comes from the Digger dynasty. And he's he's educated. Went to school and.
He
could read. You could tell he's educated because he's the only one at Leeds who hasn't got the undershave and the top knot and the that weird kind of Leeds United signature hairdo. That's
a nice proper haircut. Yeah,
I mean, I have to say, Leeds fans, listen, it's been wonderful. They've been wonderful this season.
Yeah,
one of my favourite teams to watch: Rafinha, Calvin Phillips, the 12-year-old in goal. I like the sincerity of the team. They all really care about each other and doing well together. But this isn't an end of season review, not yet. Just a few thoughts on Leeds United. Just really just to delay having to talk about.
Do you think that our listeners have cottoned on to that?
I was just about to go off on a tangent. If you want, if you fancy coming down this cul-de-sac with me about educated footballers.
Educated footballers, because
Alan Smith, he had an O-level, didn't he? Steve Highway. Yes. Steve Highway was another one.
He did a degree. Are you thinking of Coppell?
No, Steve Highway did have a degree.
No, he's got VD.
Coppell's got VD?
Then he choked on me coffee.
Is that, are you referring to something?
P-A-L-A-C-E, Stevie Coppell's got VD with a nickname. Crystal Palace, F off home.
Coppell was on one wing and he was very, very bright and educated.
Yeah.
And Gordon Hill was on the other wing. And I met Gordon Hill many years ago and he's not educated. And we were off camera. We were filming a pilot for a potential BBC football show that was no good, with James Richardson. And Gordon Hill was a guest. And he goes, at one point in our conversation, he just goes, "The FA are bleeding typical." And then we all waited for him to say, you know, typical of what?
What?
And then he had a look on his face where he thought, "I think I've misused the word typical there. I've just thrown it in. I've thrown it in, and actually, I'm not confident." So there was a little pause, and then he goes, "That is your typical FA." And then we went, "Oh, yeah, oh, with you.
Gordon,
with you now, Gordon, with you now."
Yeah. lost you for a few minutes, but you're
and
back
And he
in.
Said he wanted to get back into football. This is a long time ago. I'm going back to the 90s. This is a long time ago. He wanted to get back to football, and but the owners of clubs, they didn't like it. Chairman didn't like it. If you came in and you knew too much about football, if you could put your finger on their problem, they didn't like it. They wanted coaches who didn't know nothing about it. And that was why he couldn't get a gig. I found that's quite a common mindset amongst footballers and ex-players, is that they're really furious that they don't have more respect or opportunities. It's quite rare to find the articulate... Well, Gareth Southgate type. Jermaine Gina speaks quite well, although he went completely off the rails in Match of the Day 2 last night when they were trying to talk about Man United fans invading Old Trafford.
That was
they were just opened up a discussion. Mark Chapman was hosting, who turned up without a shirt on, and he looked like he just got out of the shower. Honestly, he looked like he had pulled an all-nighter.
What is his hair doing?
He just shampooed it, I think, hadn't he? I think he just shampooed it, and then he put his jumper on and forgot to put a shirt underneath, and he looked like he was presenting something for like a dad's hour on MTV.
Sounds of the 70s.
And then they turned to Shearer for an assessment of events at Old Trafford.
Oh, yeah.
And Shearer started going, obviously, what it means is... and really, I thought, oh, please don't embark on this. You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of in 1985, I was at university in Kent, and I was going to go back to Essex in time to watch the European Cup final, which was Liverpool against Juventus. Everyone looking forward to it. In those days, it was a big deal. And weren't many live games, etc., etc. They had Platini playing for them. And anyway, I didn't get myself organised and I left it too late to leave. And I thought, I'll just watch it here. I'll watch it in the junior common room. And I went in the junior common room, Damien, you've probably been in there,
yep.
At Caine's College.
Oh, yes.
And lots of football fans in there, a few lads in Liverpool shirts, but we're down in Kent, so it's a mixed bag of people. But everyone, of course, in those days would support the English team, no matter who, where you came from. So we're all rooting for Liverpool. But the game hadn't started, and the game hadn't started because there'd been this terrible disaster. It was the Heysel Stadium thing. And there was an hour, and then there was, I think there was an hour and a half or 2 hours. Yeah. And they didn't know what to do. They didn't know, so that all they had was the pundits talking and filling.
Oh, I remember and, it very well.
And I really remember it because I was a bit of a lefty student. We all were in that room. And there was Jimmy Hill on the TV going on about national service.
Yes.
National service. There hadn't been national service in our country for 30 years. Bring back national service, he was saying. And the slightly more sophisticated view of it was that there was something going on between the Juventus ultras, who were on the right, and they regarded Liverpool as a lefty city, which, of course, it was, particularly in the 80s.
Right, oh, okay.
And there was some political angle towards anyway, the history of that terrible days is, as they say, well documented. But that it came to mind as I watched Shearer and Genus wrestling with, you know, talking about the Glazer ownership and how much money they spent on players. But then they gave quite a lot of time to the editor of the United We Stand fanzine.
Yeah.
Who was wearing a classic Manc anorak on telly. He's scrubbed up. He's picked his best anorak.
Yeah. arranged his shelf quite well, I thought, at the back.
Very
you
well.
All his Man United memorabilia.
Yeah.
Just before we started recording, listener, we were treated to Damien trying to clear out his office, in which he's still got all the boxes that come with your season ticket when you get a gift pack that really you don't want. You just don't want it. Or
I
you
get
would
two.
Rather have the cash. Damien's got two season tickets. You get two. I get six of these bloody...
I know.
And he's still got the boxes from 20 years ago. Oh, Chuck it away, D.
Got a bobble hat.
Unworn bobble hat. He keeps them like he's a collector.
2014-15 fixture list.
Recycling, D. In the recycling.
Oh, there's some pin badges. Stronger together.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we can melt them down and reuse the metals.
Have you noticed that? Remember, there was a metal box as well. I mean, these boxes are heavy, aren't they? They fell on me once, nearly broke a leg. You know, I mean, it's just because I still get them because Evgenia, our sort of Russian daughter, where she moved to, the guy was an Arsenal season ticket holder, and they still send the boxes there. So she gives them to me every Christmas. So I've still got, I'm up to date with all the boxes, but yeah, they're heavy things, aren't they?
This is the first I've heard of Genya.
Evgenia, the Russian student. She stayed with us a few,
Is she the one with the cosmonauts in her
top? Cosmonauts, yeah. Two Russian cosmonauts, but yeah, she's our Russian daughter now, you know,
You're putting all that back in the box and you're going to put it back on the shelf?
Yeah.
I don't know what
to do.
You've got to get rid of this shit.
Yeah.
This
we have a competition.
No, this isn't what Damien's old season ticket holder boxes. No one wants them, mate. I know you had the Arsenal toilet. That was a bit of fun. But this is getting silly.
Okay.
This is getting silly.
All right, I'll put them in the recycling.
Yeah, more ruthless about this
shit. He won't.
Well, as moving day gets closer, I'm having to get more ruthless.
Yeah, you've got to be more ruthless about it. Yeah. Okay. I remember we moved house and we had the builders in for a bit. So all our stuff was in storage. And then the day came and there was a lot of stuff. There's all the furniture, everything. So there's two vans in storage with an insurance policy valuing it at 35 grand. Quite a lot, right?
Mm.
And as the vans pulled up, I thought, if I went out and just set light to those two vans, I could pocket 35 grand. Because as I stood there, I thought, I actually can't even think what's in there. And when they open them up, I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. Oh, no, here it comes. Boxes and boxes of absolute shit. Arsenal shit. Hundreds of programmes. Away programmes. I've got a drawer in my filing cabinet, which is marked Arsenal Away Programmes 78-79. I shit you not. And they're in mint condition. And I look on eBay. No one wants this shit. No one wants them. I've got Arsenal programmes for the last 50 years. No one wants them. And in the 91 season, right, championship season, full set of programs in a binder, mint condition, value online, value £25. No bids. So, in other words, overpriced at 25. Worthless paper, worthless shit. Just get the 10 programs that you most value and the rest bin.
Okay.
Sounds like
this is advice that I should follow. Don't do as I do.
I tell you, we are avoiding this elephant in the room.
We're not talking about it, Keith.
Does the 0809 membership handbook bring me joy?
That doesn't bring you joy. Bin it. What's your top 10 programmes? I'll tell you mine, right? First game I went to, 19th August 71 against Stoke. I would keep that one. Even though the copy that I've got, I didn't get on the day. I had to get it off one of those programme sellers that used to be on Gillespie Road.
Oh, really?
That?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd keep Anfield 89, OVS. Yeah. I'd keep White Hart Lane 2004, OVS. I'd keep the 79 Cup Final, and I would keep Old Trafford 2002. After that, I'm struggling to think of a game. Really, I am. I might keep my Barcelona one, you know, from when Messi came down. And finals. I might keep the last one at the Highbury 2006. I might keep that one they gave us, Wenger's last game, when there was a booklet in it.
Yeah.
There's the ones. Yeah. That's it.
Okay.
That's and it. I went to a game for a birthday treat in 1973. Arsenal beat Sheffield United 3-2. Charlie George scored twice. And I just remember that being unbelievably exciting. I mean, I think that was really when I actually got the actual bug. Like, I couldn't. Highbury was, and I know we're biased, but was the most beautiful football ground that's ever been erected. It was just such a sight. Yeah. And it was exciting because there were 5 goals. Everyone loved Charlie George. You could feel all around you how much everyone loved Charlie George. It made you love Charlie George. You thought, I'm part of being here is that you love Charlie George, right? That's part of the deal.
Yeah.
So if I could dig that programme out, I'd keep that. Because that does spark joy. Even talking about it now makes me feel good. Even though I was only 7, I didn't really know what was going on. The only thing I really remember was the Sheffield United had a player called Woodward, who was a grey-haired winger, and the tendons on the back of his knees were very pronounced.
Excellent.
Yeah,
there you go. You're listening to Desert Island Football Programme with Alan Davis.
Gee, you're on to something.
I think we've got something.
Desert Island Programmes. Yes.
I'll stick it on the list.
Stick it on the list.
That's
we've got about 78 podcast ideas, listener. But because you won't go out and get a few more of your mates to subscribe, you freeloading scumbags, we're not bothering doing them. We had the Tuesday Book Club. We were going to do that. Now we've got Desert Island Programmes. These are good ideas.
Everyone's a winner. Tyler's pitching it as we speak.
We've got to launch the bold game, you know.
The bold game?
Yeah, you know, Mourinho versus Mussolini, Stalin versus Brendan Rodgers.
Oh, yes.
That's a great bold game, yeah.
Who said this? That's how you progress around the bold.
Yeah. Exactly. It's brilliant. Get a couple of little miniature plastic figures of managers and dictators and, you know, philosophers.
Got some figures, yeah.
Yeah, you have all the authoritarian dictators on one side.
Or you could have Davos Suker and Kanu.
Damien's actually got mini figures with massive heads.
Heads, the ones that bobble about. Do they bobble the heads?
No, these are the Corinthians ones.
Oh, right.
Keep up, Keith. I've got Emmanuel Petit as well somewhere.
I bet you have. You know that's a medical condition.
Oh, my God, that's horrible.
Can I ask you a football question now?
Oh, God, they're all right. Come on in.
Yesterday, we were recording this, listener, on Bank Holiday Monday morning. Yesterday, Arsenal won 2-0 at St James's Park. The easiest win we've had all season.
25 minutes before what? We talked about it. Sorry. Yeah.
Newcastle, I don't know what was wrong with them. Oof. I don't think they'd get away with that if there was 52,000 in up there. I've been, as you know, my in-laws are up there and I've been there many times. They would be furious to watch that. They really were so ineffectual. They didn't chase us at all. We got an early goal, and then he scored a good goal. And then we passed it very, very well. Everyone was very on it and just totally controlled it. And it was boring as hell, but we did really boring.
I think they were on the beach, mate. They just want the season.
But they shouldn't
end.
Be on the beach because they, you know, there's still a chance I could go down. But what I was going to say to you is, we've been away from home now to all the bottom four and had effortless wins against all of them. 3-0 at Fulham, 3-0 at Sheffield United, 4-0 at the Hawthorns and 2-0 yesterday. Cruising through these matches against teams who sometimes can give us a hard time. You know, the bottom, real flat track bully stuff, getting on the ball, showing we're better than you. You can't defend as well as us and you can't attack as well as us. Therefore, this game should be 3-0. Oh, it is. Look, it's a kind of... there must be a factor, obviously, that Bramall Lane is empty. Mm. Or Hawthorns is empty. So that's probably a factor. But those have been our outstanding performances. We've had a couple of other good away wins at Southampton and Leicester. And our away form overall has been pretty good. Olympiacos as well. Mm. But why is that? Why is it? Because at home, we nearly lost to Fulham. And at home, we really struggled against Sheffield United. Yep. Narrow 2-1 win. We've yet to play West Brom at home, but you can see Big Sam causing a problem when we play them. And I think it's the next match in the league.
Mm.
But just to sort of just noticed it, really, how effortlessly we've cruised through these games against these sides and the away games down there are so easy.
I still felt nervous at 83 minutes that we could cock it all up. My biggest frustration of that game was there was a period after about 25 minutes where they had a good 10 minutes and we were just not pressing them. We were letting them sort of line up crosses and balls into the box. And I was actually getting quite frustrated after about 25 minutes, thinking, why are we not going for the jugular here?
Yeah.
I don't think there's a desire to go for the jugular. Mm. I think Martinelli's got a real hunger. I mean, we all absolutely love him, don't we? And it's wonderful to see him back. And you think in the long term, you think Martinelli on one side, Saka in the other, Smith Rowe at 10. You know, there's bags of talent there, and you've still got Reece Nelson and
I mean, that was worrying, that tackle, but thankfully got up. And I asked Steve Bruce, didn't think that was a red card. It was a straight red.
It was a nasty tackle. Just a few minutes from the end by Shaw. And
why even make a tackle like that?
It's just horrible. It took you like a throwback to the old Wenger days when some big lump centre-half would just get frustrated and go through someone. It could have really been worse than it was. He hurt him, didn't he? Mm. But no, it was good to see him. See him playing, and the thing is the contrast between Martinelli and Willian on the other side, who just seems to lack the determination or the drive to even try and play a 1-2 and get a shot off. He seems to have an absolute aversion to try and get to the byline. Mm. I mean, there are a couple of times when he's one on one with the fullback, and you think he just knock it by him. You're quite quick, knock it by him and whip one across the box and, you know, get it in there. But of course he checks and goes back and walks around. And the contrast between him and Martinelli, looking at Willian, thinking, what are you thinking when you watch Martinelli on the other side of the pitch, full of energy and drive and determination every time he's in possession? And every time it comes to you, you stop, you stand, you look, you go backwards. Don't you want to get shots off? He hasn't scored a goal all season. He's barely done anything. Although I did see, having said that, I did look on the Premier League website and he is he leads us in assists in the Premier League this season, Willian.
What?
He's got 5 You're assists joking. In the Premier League. It's more than
that. Oh, my God.
It's incredible, isn't it? But I think 3 of them were in the first day of the season.
Yeah, against Fulham, wasn't it?
Why he's doing that, you think you could be playing Nketiah here or you could be playing Reece Nelson. What's the point of giving this old geezer who doesn't care another other 90 minutes. He really has got in the way of Reece Nelson.
Yeah,
he doesn't even pick him.
He doesn't look like a player who's thinking to himself, well, listen, I'm going to really put on a performance because there's, you know, the Europa League to might get into the team. He just doesn't look interested at all.
He doesn't look interested.
He did one point. He, instead of passing back to Hector Bellerin, he actually made a run. And he came inside and made a run and sort of ran across the sort of penalty area line. And it made things happen. And you just go, why don't you do that?
Why don't you try and create and score a goal? What is going on in your head?
And they genuinely found it hard. And he sort of ran inside. And it was, come on, do that. I don't know. Very
was he on a three-year contract? Because
3 years. And supposedly he's got business interests in London, and he owns a restaurant, doesn't he, with Louise and Chirabchin and in Mayfair, and he wants to stay in London, and so he's got this 3-year cushy deal, £1 million a month or whatever it is. It's just absolutely staggering. Oh, why, when he was playing last season for Chelsea and playing to quite a good standard, well enough that Chelsea were offering him a contract to stay, even though they were spending fortunes of money on Havertz and Werner, and they had Pulisic, and they had Mason Mount, who's been their best player, turns out, this season. But they were still offering Willian a contract, so they obviously thought he still had it. But, oh, my God, yesterday, what is the point? Get out of the way and let one of the kids have a go. You may as well just put Aubameyang, give Balogun a start.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
You know? Why don't you give him a start? Yeah.
Because we could need him for Thursday night. I mean, we've seen him score in the Europa League. We know he's got talent. And we've played a lot of meaningless Premier League matches where he could have been bedded in.
Have a go.
Yeah, he needed to play Aubameyang just to give him some...
That's true.
He was the very definition of rusty for the first 60 minutes until he scored.
Definition of post-malarial.
Post-malarial.
Rusty. But then also, you know, you, at the end, you're bringing on Partey and Pepe, and maybe you're thinking, well, I've got to bring them on. They're senior players on a monumental wages, huge transfer. They're on the bench. I can't look past them down the bench and call up one of the kids to play 10 minutes. But that feels to me that's part of Arteta's makeup. So there's no need to bring those two lads on at all. We're cruising at 2-0. They can get back on the bus and go home, or the plane, or wherever they got up there, and get ready for Thursday, when I'm sure they'll both start against Villarreal, won't they, Partey and Pepe? I'm sure they'll both start, play 90 minutes. If we're 2-1 up, they might be on extra time. Anything could happen. No, I can't understand it. All this fuss about Balogun here really is a chance.
Yeah.
To give him a start, to give him his first Premier League start. 19-year-old striker just signed a contract. Go out and I'll give you an hour against Newcastle.
Well, he could have played against Fulham. This is what annoys me, right? So we lost Tierney because he played him against Liverpool. He plays Lacazette against Fulham, which there's no need for that. I know somebody said to me, well, he didn't know he's going to pull a hamstring. The guy needed to be rested. We need him for the Villarreal match.
Key player. Yeah, absolutely. Can I talk to you now? What did you think about the false nine? When do you think Arteta settled on the false nine in the Villarreal game? I imagine, and perhaps I'm being overly cynical, that it was after he'd seen Pep Guardiola deploy a false nine against Paris Saint-Germain. And they played very well, Man City, and got a win away from home. Again, empty ground. You know, it's so hard to know. The Parc des Princes is a noisy place. But we've never played a false nine. He's never played Smith Rowe as a false nine. He had Nketiah available. He tried him in the previous game. He obviously doesn't fancy him. Very likely he's going to sell him in the summer. But he didn't deploy a striker against Villarreal. There's no one then really harassing their centre-backs when they're in possession. I have to say, they tore us a new one in the first half an hour. They were tigerish. They were all over us. I could just imagine Carcedo, Emery's assistant, yelling and screaming at them and driving them on to, you know, they used to shout at Danny Welbeck, Danny! You could hear him. and they really came at us. deployed a winger against Xhaka at fullback, just like Richarlison the game before. He just beat him easily and scored.
Well, listen, Unai Emery would have looked at that team lineup and would have rubbed his hands and gone, great, happy days. And that's exactly what we played into his hands. Why did Arteta feel the need to change a good system? You know, we point out to Slavia Prague, what that worked. Why don't you do the same thing again?
Because we didn't have because we didn't have Lacazette and Aubameyang.
Well, yeah, well, we know why we didn't have Lacazette, because he shouldn't have played him against bloody Fulham.
That really annoyed you, didn't it?
Well, it's just we got the text. If I can work this shit out, he should be able to do it. But you went into Arteta's house, he's one of those husbands who go, don't worry, love, I'll fix that. And then there'll be loads of springs hanging out of clocks and wires out of things, because he never bloody finishes it off. And, you know, he's probably got his bath in his living room, his gas cooker in his toilet, because he likes swapping things around. You get the team right. Slavia Prague, right. Rest the players. That's the point of having a big squad. You play Balogun against Fulham. He gets a couple of goals. Then suddenly we've got options. Instead of that, we lose Lacazette.
I agree. The false nine didn't really work,
no,
did it?
No, it didn't really work.
It didn't. We couldn't get possession. They were hungry and motivated, and it looked like this is a side we've played a couple of times in the past. A good side. Any team who's up around the top of La Liga, the level's very high.
Yeah.
But Arsenal have fallen. We've fallen, right? So we're not where we used to be, and suddenly they think we can have these this time. Then they suffered the Unai Emery moment of madness that we suffered for a year and a half. He gets in 2-0 up at half time, cruising, absolutely cruising. Ceballos is on a red and running around like he's on a yellow, possible red card coming, running around like a headless chicken. Yeah. Arteta, you need to yank him at half time. Arteta leaves it. Emery, of course, he makes a half time substitution because he cannot resist getting involved. Instead of just sitting in the corner of the dressing room and saying, lads, brilliant, same again, and then give him 10 minutes and then make a change, he yanks off his deadly striker and puts Coquelin in the midfield and tries to shut up shop at 2-0. If I was a Villarreal fan, well, you'd be hearing the same podcast out there in eastern Spain as you heard all of the last 2 years here. What are we doing? Why are we so frightened? We're 2 up. They're shit. Honestly, look at the crap fullback they've got. Let's have another go and get a third. If we get a third, surely we're through. Surely we're through. Why are we shutting up? Why's he putting Coquelin in? He didn't even play him in front of the back four because he's already got a guy there. So he was kind of a more advanced position. He didn't really know how to play there. He was obviously, maybe he thought he's up against his old team, he'll be up for it. He didn't look particularly up for it. And all it did was send a message to the whole Villarreal team, sit deep, try and get a third on the break. Let's keep this 2-0 lead. And of course, they invited pressure. They invited pressure. And they ended up conceding a pen.
And we've got a lifeline. You know, we have got a...
Yeah.
I'd love the idea that there's a El Club de la Mortes going on, being recorded right now.
Yeah, El Club de Mardi. Club de Mardi. My name is Signor Davis. You are listening to Club de Mardi. Emery! Coquelin!
El
could have been Tres Zero, you mug.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear the song I've created for Bukayo Saka? Do you want to hear that?
Come on in.
Are you ready?
Well, yeah.
He's going down. I'm yelling timber. He hits the ground. We score the pen. He engineers a little contact. He feels a touch and cons the ref. Bukayo, Bukayo Saka. Bukayo, Bukayo, Bukayo Saka. Hey, Bukayo, Bukayo Saka. Bukayo, Bukayo, Bukayo Saka. He's going down. I'm yelling timber.
Very
hits the ground. We score the pen. He engineered a little contact. He feels a touch and cons the ref. Bukayo, Bukayo Saka. Bukayo, Bukayo, Bukayo Saka. It goes like that. I've been singing that.
Brilliant.
Shit you not, for 3 days. It's going down. I'm yelling timber. He hits the ground. We score the pen. Honestly.
I found the tambourine.
It's got a tambourine in the absolute shambles of an office. That, again, that is going to, that's a charity shop. That's got a charity shop written all over it.
No, come on, I need this for my my musical output.
He's going down. I'm yelling, Timber, catchy. It's the ground. Yeah. We scored, because that was a really, what a, honestly, that was shocking. In the, if, with VAR, right, you don't blame Saka. He's got three men on him. He's trying to trick his way through. He dangles the right foot. The bloke planted both feet on the ground, put his hands in the air, said, I'm not touching him. And Saka kicked him on the foot and fell over and got a pen out of it. But VAR surely is going to say, no. There's no foul there. There's no foul.
Well, the VAR, but
they look at it and they give it.
Yeah. I mean, like that, I mean, there was a Spurs player, but did you see that stamp on that Sheffield United guy on the guy's face? And he didn't even get, there was nothing. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, I was glad he did, though.
Oh yeah, I mean,
not stamp on, not stamp on Lascelles. So, glad Bukayo did go down. But yeah,
we've got a lot.
He's also God is good. God is good. God is.
Can we do it? Controlling the FBAR.
Can we do it Thursday? Well,
I think so.
It's so hard to say because of this empty, horrible empty ground, isn't it? I think if it's a full house at the Emirates and the noisy atmosphere, get the first goal and you feel like they could be spurred on by being at home, having the home advantage. Normally that's what you hope for in Europe. It's considered to be an advantage, isn't it? It's built into the system that seeded teams get home advantage in the second leg. Mm. So it's considered to be an advantage, not least because if there is extra time, it's on your pitch. I always think that the away goal really undermines that, as we have discovered, to our cost.
But we'll take it this time.
In the past.
I'm hoping...
At home in the second leg, I mean. Go on.
If Kieran Tierney's back, let's pray and hope that Kieran Tierney is back. Aubameyang back.
Why won't he play Cedric in that position? He can play Saka in that position. Be
three. He's better than Xhaka, oh, Kieran Tierney.
Keith's better than Xhaka. Yeah, hang on, I've got some bagpipes here somewhere. I genuinely do have some bagpipes.
Did you think Granit was going to get sent off against Newcastle? Well, as soon as he got
he's Mike Dean as well.
I'm thinking he's going to go. Get him off now because he's...
That's a terrible
what was
tackle,
wrong with Mike Dean? Mike Dean was looked really hungover because normally he would jump at the chance to send off an Arsenal.
He kicked. Who did he kick? He kicked someone hard, didn't he, Jack? Mm. Was it Sam Maximan? Just went up behind and booted him.
Yeah,
and then he'll be out of left back, as you say. Hopefully, he'll be out of left back. I mean, they picked the team yesterday with Bellerin and Louise and Gabriel, and you think they were the starting. Three of the starting back four, even about 2 months ago. Mm. Mm. And it's to that extent that Arteta changes his mind. So now Chambers is ahead of Spain international right back and a Portuguese international right back. He's a kind of makeshift centre half. Not that I'm saying it's wrong, because I love Callum Chambers and I liked him when he moved to centre back yesterday. I like him because he's proactive. Mm. He goes and makes things happen. He affects the game. He's very, very eager and strong. And he's terrific to have in the side. But the fact that, I mean, do you think they'll sell Bellerin in the summer?
It's looking
rather
that
they
way.
Sell, if they sold Torreira and Guendouzi and Hector Bellerin, there's a constant rumour, they can raise money that way and then we don't have to lose Joe Willock, who I would really hate to lose at 21 because I feel like he's going to have a big career in the Premier League and I don't want it to be somewhere else, you know?
Mm. I'm with you there.
Who knows? Although he looked quite bored.
Oh, did you see
the camera? The camera got to him, and it was like,
such a boring game.
Do you know what he? Whoever was commentator, Arsenal with their conservative possession football.
Conservative possession football. Yeah, the commentators are basically yawning, going, "Well, they call this game management. They call this not trying to score a goal, retaining possession in the opposition half, in sight of the goal." And not trying to get in the box, not trying to play a 1-2 and get a shot off. Just not... Thank God the grounds are empty, because it's epically tedious. But you remember when Spain won the World Cup? It was hellishly dull, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That ticker-tacker, suffocating the opposition and boring the hell out of everyone.
Yeah.
Which is a fine tactic if you're 2 or 3 nil up. That's fine. But if you want the goals, and the trouble is that you have that mindset in players that can start right at the start of the match. I mean, you see it with Tottenham against Manchester City in the League Cup. That's been so drilled under Mourinho. Everyone thought, right, you got Tottenham are going to play now and give it a go. But they didn't. They still played like they were under Mourinho, and consequently they went out with a whimper, you know.
When you look at their front four, it's quite scary, really.
Exactly.
Played yesterday. Do you see the Tottenham goals against Sheffield United yesterday?
I saw one of them.
They're absolutely smashing. There was one, an absolute classic VAR balls up, and I know I go on about it every week, but oh my God, even though it was a Tottenham goal, it was disallowed. It was such a good finish from Son. I mean, a week after they had a feeble, hilariously shit awful embarrassment of a cup final performance, and they all came off the pitch crying, having not tried.
His son's crying.
They then play the worst team in the league and thumped them at home, as you'd expect, but Son was put through, ball into their half, you know, on the break. He's very quick. He's level. When it's played, it's clearly level. He's done, you know, it's the striker's job to stay level. He can see across, he knows he's level, and he's gone. And he ran on, and you're thinking, oh, I wonder what he'll do here. Will he go, oh, it's in the net. I mean, he just sighted the goal, put his foot through it, and lashed it in the top corner. You see some players are a bit hesitant on a one-on-one, and some players think, Anelka was the same. The goal's massive. If I put it over there, he won't get it. Bang, goal. Mm. Never any thought about doing anything fancy. If he wanted to do a step over and sit him on his arse, he could. He would do sometimes. But anyway, they called it back, and his arm's offside. Of course, his arm's offside because he's leaning towards goal because he's running towards that end of the pitch. So, of course, his body's angled that way because it is impossible to run in totally upright position with your arms by your side. It's a complete farce now. They would certainly be better off junking VAR completely. They really would, because if they're going to just nitpick around things like that and disallow perfectly good goals when the player's obviously level, then they really are disrupting the game. That game was an easy home win, so it didn't affect it. But what if that was an equaliser? What if that's a goal that affects the relegation issues? And you call it off for that? It's a nonsense, a total nonsense. But he got another one later on. Bale went through one-on-one and smashed it in the top corner like it was easy. But you're looking at players who want to get in the box and score, so we're not really used to that.
What do we make of the chap from Spotify?
Eck. Who the Eck is that?
I feels like Keith's thought about this.
Well, because he's not squeaky clean himself. You ask any musician who's not getting paid for their work that gets put out there.
That's me.
You know, and that's the thing. Yeah. I mean, it isn't just recording artists from back, you know, years ago. It's someone can produce an album now and they don't get what they deserve. I mean, if a record gets played on a radio station, they get the royalties for it. But with the streaming service, they get nothing.
Yeah, it's the same with Amazon and books. Don't buy your books on Amazon because when they undercut, all that ends up is that the author gets.
They want legislation to brought in that these streaming services do have to pay for the music, which could dent his bid.
It's a bit like a Nectar card, I think, Spotify, because you get your points and it's years before you can afford anything or get a bag. I went over 1 million with one of my records, which is £4,000. Is what you get for 1 million streams.
It's not unlike, but you don't get that. Not unlike the money you make if you record a podcast. We sit here listening, talking to you. We've had 1.6 million listens. And I can tell you now, none of us are going to Mauritius on the proceeds.
No.
It's pretty shocking, really.
Or a day trip
However,
to the island.
If you get yourself, if you organise it, and you're the one who creates it, has the idea and organises it and sets up, which undeniably, whether it's Spotify or whatever your music streaming service of choice is, it is brilliant. It's an amazing thing to you, just on your phone, sitting in, speaking to your system in your house and oh, what's that song? And you look and you can play it, find it. It really is an amazing thing. But absolutely, by now, it's established and the money's rolling in. They could up the royalties, couldn't they?
I am conflicted as a poor, you know, as a poor struggling musician and an Arsenal fan who would like the Vieira, Henry, maybe even Wenger package.
When you say you're
package.
Conflicted, I think you're saying is you're not remotely conflicted. You're thinking, please God, let this takeover go through.
Have all my royalties.
I don't really care. Fatboy Slim's made enough money.
Yeah,
I really do. Please God, get the Cronkers out of the club. And that's all anyone's thinking. What I haven't heard from Daniel Ek or from Patrick, I haven't heard a word from Patrick Vieira or Thierry Henry or Dennis Bergkamp. It's only the fact that none of them have denied knowing him or being involved makes you think that perhaps they have had a text.
Yeah.
Would you put your name to this? I did hear the other day that I saw on the Sun, I think it was on the Sun, had a headline saying that the Cronkers are up for selling. And that actually they've been up for selling for a couple of years. And,
oh, okay.
And they would take a bid, and they don't. So there is a possibility. It's not when they needlessly made a statement saying that they weren't interested in selling. That really did sound like we're interested in selling.
The full backing of the board statement. Yeah. Well, I was wondering whether we would benefit from them sort of being a bit divorced parents, like after they made their fuck up with the Super League. Feeling all apologetic, want to make, you know, amends and, you know.
Stan doesn't give a shit about Arsenal.
I mean, a BMX.
He doesn't care about Arsenal and he's not going to make a fortune from Arsenal. It's gone up in value. There's someone who's up for buying it and he might just think, oh, let's get that asset. Football's gone. There's no Super League.
Game's gone.
COVID's ruined it. We've lost so much money this season. There's no possibility of that really turning around. They're ninth in the league. We're not going to win anything. Everyone hates my guts. Sell it, buy something else. Do something else. Buy another 2 million acres. I don't know.
He spent a fortune on building that new stadium. Was it? Well, if he's
in Los Angeles.
Yeah, in the Los Angeles. Mm. Yeah. So maybe he needs to recoup some money there, but you don't,
and you're right, absolutely right, because of course you shouldn't just jump on board with the next billionaire off the rank, you know, sees it, but you know, it makes the right noises about being an Arsenal fan, although when he says I have cheered for Arsenal all my life, that's not what you say, Daniel. You're sort of out there.
I've offered to do his PR.
And what are Bergkamp, Henry and Vieira going to do if they turn up? Are they going to have a row about who should be the manager? Are they all going to sit in the director's box looming over Mikel Arteta as he tries to get to grips with being a manager? Three club legends scowling away, rather like you get, you know, Ajax or Bayern Munich when if they are winning every week, there's Rummenigge upstairs and Beckenbauer and everyone going, why shit?
Yeah.
Are they just figureheads? Are they on the board? Are they there to liaise with the supporters?
Well, it's certainly PR-wise, just it would PR. Be very... Well, maybe.
Feels like it.
If he admits that, you know, I don't really know how to run a football club, but you lot do.
Do they, though?
Hmm. Well, I mean, in terms... But that's the thing, they would trot out the Arsenal DNA, the, you know, all that stuff.
You only need one of them then, really, don't you? I don't know.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'd much rather have them above us in the director's box than
Josh.
Josh Cronker. You know, I saw a rumour that Wenger would be up for it as well.
Well, I would like Wenger in the boardroom. If that's to be his role in football for the next few years, as being on the board at Arsenal. Honestly, you turn to him for advice on any subject to do with running a football club, and that would be great. I honestly do feel it could happen. It feels like 50-50. It could happen in the summer. It may take longer. I have no idea. Once you get lawyers involved and finance, it can be years, can't it?
Due diligence.
You do feel that if it is a Swedish guy, that there is that football connection that you don't get with Americans. I mean, you know, Sweden is a footballing nation. you get that there's a sense that he would understand us more. Whereas with Josh and Stan, they're on their ranch thousands of miles away. It's not coming up on their phone. Oh, see, Arsenal drew away.
They're more dun 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 dun. Whereas Swedish people are more like ukulele music. That's sort of like, oh, you know, a nice advert.
Well, I would have thought mandolin personally, but or hurdy gurdy. But you know,
you haven't read The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
I know there's a dark side. I am aware. I've watched enough Scando Noir. But
now, gentlemen, Daniel Ruddy has emailed. I think Daniel's emailed before, but here he's back again. The subject line of this email is Mikel Arteta or Mikhail Gorbachev?
Ooh. Oh, that's a good one.
Okay. Here we go. So he opens his email with good evening. Good evening, gents. We're looking forward to Unai. I like Unai. He's coming back Thursday night to try and knock us out of the Europa League. Here's the first one. We won't survive if someone loses their nerves in the current tension. Gorbachev or Arteta? Yes. And again, I've always the warning with these that they're very likely in translation.
Yeah.
That sounds like Arteta.
I'm going Gorbachev, surely. Come on. You know.
It is Gorbachev. It is Gorbachev. We won't survive if someone loses their nerves in the current tension. Is he supervising a firing squad? Who knows? I wouldn't say there's panic. I can see the way they try and the energy they put in. Gorbachev or Arteta?
Well, you've got to say Arteta.
Yeah,
but I've been wrong before.
I'm going to go Arteta on this one.
That is Arteta. Yeah. Okay, there's only three more of these. If you're not moving forward, you are moving backward. Gorbachev or Arteta?
Ooh. Flip it, hell.
I can see it on there. Taped on the, you know, the dressing room wall.
But Arteta's never complained about us going backwards. We spend most of the game passing backwards. It drives me out of my mind how much we pass backwards.
Well, if we go so far backwards, we'd be in the Holloway Road, wouldn't we? You know?
If you were allowed to play behind your own goal net, that's where we would be. You know, like in Iceland.
I'm going to go Gorbachev.
It's Gorbachev. If you're not moving forward, you are moving back.
It is Gorbachev.
Okay, here's the next one. If what you have done yesterday still looks big to you, you haven't done much today.
Ooh.
If what you have done yesterday still looks big to you, you haven't done much today.
Can we have Gorbachev as our manager? I like the way he talks.
Couldn't go far wrong, as long as you have Pat Rice number two. Yeah.
I think Gorbachev would have made a good football manager, wouldn't he, Gorbachev? Sure, yeah. You could see him on the sideline.
Commands respect.
Oh,
yeah.
Very much so. Yeah.
I'm going to go Arteta.
I'm going Gorbachev, just because I like
it. Is Gorbachev.
It does sound Arteta-y, though, but
Arteta-y. It does sound Arteta-y. We're going to make a note of that.
Have that for the T-shirt.
It does sound Arteta-y.
For our merch range.
Arteta-y. What is an Arteta-y? It's a cage where everyone passes the ball backwards. I'm going down the Arteta-y to work on the training session. Working on game management in the Arteta-y. Yeah. You're not allowed to pass forwards. It's like rugby. You have to try and get up the field but not kick the ball forwards. Who's running the session? Willian.
renaming the club shop.
Yeah, the artillery.
They will, you know.
Just retro.
Have you got any scones in the artillery? Okay, here's the last one. I'm extremely disappointed to lose and the way we lost it. We were the better team. We controlled every department, but we gave them the ball. When we had to score the goal, we didn't find the right pass or the right shot.
Boris Yeltsin.
Yes, I'd like to say, but yeah, because he probably managed an ice hockey team while he was leader of Russia, wasn't he?
That was Arteta, of course. Have you seen that documentary, Red Army, by the way, which is about the Russian ice hockey team?
Oh, right, no. Not our Red Army.
A 100% recommendation. Unhesitating. Just get it. You can get a DVD on Amazon or something. Okay. Not Amazon. other supplies are available.
Yeah. do you remember when Red Army sort of morphed into Reg Varney?
Reg Varney.
Or am I making that up?
Rich Varney.
It's the mid-80s, I think.
That rings a bell.
It does sound familiar.
Rich Varney.
John Hayes on Twitter sent a tweet saying, which Arsenal player of 2014 is Alan speaking about? He's been listening to past editions of the podcast, and he hasn't given an answer. So someone guessed on the Twitter that I'm talking about Nacho Monreal. Someone else, anyway. This bloke cannot turn. He's got no pace. He can't keep up. Can't tackle. Can't edit. Covering our back four. There. Who am I talking about there?
Oh, I did see that thing. I was thinking. Because I was going to say you can't get anything past this mob, do you?
Suggest it's someone central midfield.
Sounds
who was
bit,
who was
I think he
midfield.
Said I think he said it wasn't Granit Xhaka 2014.
Well, he ticks a lot of granite boxes.
Do you know what I think it probably it's probably Mikel Arteta.
And this is where this all started from.
I think it's got no pace, he can't tackle, he can't edit. Yeah. I think it's probably
sounds like Mick.
That'll be my guess. I was talking about in scathing terms about Mikel Arteta. John Hayes, you've got our email address because he's also sent us a Thomas Rosquizki. But I'm not going to do that right now because I'm going to offer you, gents, one from Oliver Kiddle or Kiddell, not sure. Thierry Henry or Superman?
They are the same person.
I always think this might be, where I draw down the curtain on these. It's a pity that Tyre's not here because I know he loves both Thierry Henry and Superman. But here we go. There's quite a lot of these. I might not do them all. Number one, I don't believe in dreams. I only deal in what is real. Thierry Henry or Superman?
Well, I'm going to say Thierry Henry. I've seen a few Superman films and I don't recall
He's
that
He's much
line.
More a positive Superman, isn't he?
Yeah.
I'm going to go Thierry Henry as
it
well.
It is Thierry Henry.
Whee.
He doesn't believe in dreams. He only deals in what is real.
I can see him saying it as well.
The amazing can only be created by facing fear, risk and failure during the process.
Thierry Henry, surely.
A note for Mikel Arteta. And get Arteta and Unai Emery go from the Arteta to the Umarai.
You're creating a mix of the two, aren't you? The best
amazing,
of both of them.
They feel like the same bloke. The managerial philosophy is identical. The amazing can only be created by facing fear, risk and failure during the process. It's such a good quote.
Gosh, I'm going to go Thierry Henry again.
Superman said that.
Oh,
really?
If you had Superman with Gorbachev, that is the dream ticket. Okay, number three. It's not about where you were born or the powers you have or what you wear on your chest. It's about what you do. Thierry Henry or Superman?
Because that could be Superman.
Well, I'm going
Krypton.
Superman.
He's got something on his chest.
He has.
It's got his club crest.
But it might be Thierry. I'm going Thierry.
Superman.
It's Superman. Oh, yes. Superman. I hope you're keeping score because I'm not.
No, I knew.
Number four, I am always honest. Thierry Henry or Superman?
That's Thierry Henry.
That's Thierry
after,
Henry.
After handballing.
You know he's not, right? Only a man who's not always honest would say that.
Yeah. Only a man who's just handballed the ball into the Irish net.
Not the Irish out of the World Cup. Oh. And then didn't immediately say, that hit my arm, lads. I can't have that. That hit my arm. That was the biggest advert for VAR, wasn't it? That's what it was for.
Especially as the linesman was
that
clearly
is what
in...
it was for.
Yeah,
that's the moment when there's a clear handball. Not it's hit someone's arm when they're trying to protect their eyes from a shot from 3 feet away. Pen. Oh, Christ, that's so stupid. You wait till you see the Son one against Sheffield United. You see that. We've seen so many of them. Anyway. Go on.
I was just going to say, everyone's saying the same thing about VAR. Surely there's someone in authority who's going to go, right, listen, I've listened to pundits, the fans, journalists, Keith, players. They're all saying the same thing. We've got to change this. Or are they going, no, I'm in my bunker. I'm not listening to a word anybody else says.
If I could think of one thing to do with it, one thing, it's got to be some, if it's not within half a metre wrong, leave it. Hmm. Because for 100 years in football or more, it's been the naked eye of the linesman has made these calls. And everyone knew it was virtually impossible, but most of the time they got it right. So if it's so close that you couldn't see it with the naked eye, leave it.
Mm.
You can't see a sleeve from 50 yards away. You can't see that with the naked eye. They're level, leave it. You don't. If you can't pick in, you have to have some kind of leeway, like they do in cricket.
You would like to think that they would review it every end of every year and go, right, because that is, you know, the offside thing is a real problem.
But
so
who's in charge at VAR? Who is the man in control? Is he called Ron Bastard or
Ron
someone?
Bastard, yeah.
You know him. You know Ron Bastard.
Yeah. There must be someone in charge, overall charge of the thing, looking at it, isn't there?
It's Mike Dean's mate.
Well, one thing's for sure, Pete, even if there was someone in charge, you wouldn't hear from them.
No.
There's no one actually defending it. They all know it's a shambles. Well, you could pick 20 of these wrong decisions where a player whose feet are behind the feet of the person. The Saka one against Fulham. This one with Son the other day. There was one with Pepe when that Ceballos pen was ruled out.
Mm. Who's the bloke that didn't give us anything in the Pizzagate game at Old Trafford?
Mike Riley.
T's convinced it's Mike Riley's revenge.
Mike Riley's revenge.
Yeah. Because he likes a conspiracy theory. And
I'm with him there.
Okay, number five. I believe that if we stay together as a team, we would be a force that could truly work. Thierry Henry or Superman?
Oh, I think it's...
Sorry, can I have that again, please?
If we stay together as a team, we would be a force that could truly work.
I'm going Superman.
Superman.
Okay. Number six. Politicians are there to try to deal with stuff, but sometimes it's both fortunate and unfortunate that people like us have more power in the stuff that we say. Henri or Superman?
Thierry.
That is Thierry.
Well done. I've gone Superman. That's...
When the moment beckons, I am ready to make the difference. Thierry Henri or Superman?
Superman.
Superman, yeah.
That's Thierry Henry.
No!
Well, he was a Superman.
Yeah.
I feel like I live in a world made of cardboard. Thierry Henry or Superman?
It's got to be Superman, surely.
Yeah. Superman.
That is Superman, yeah. You either want or you don't want to know about it. It's a mercy thing. You have to give back. However you do it, you have to give something back. You have to. Henri or Superman?
Oh, Henri. That sounds very...
Yeah, Thierry.
That is Henri. Sometimes you have to take a leap of faith first. The trust part comes later. Henri or Superman?
Superman.
It is Superman.
Superman, yeah. They're fine lines, though, aren't they?
They're good, aren't they?
Good, yeah.
There's still four more. There's loads of them. Quite simply, it is true that I can be a pig. Henri or Superman?
Henri.
It's Henri. People are going to talk, and that's great. If people are talking, they're being entertained in one way or another. So carry on. Henri or Superman?
Doesn't sound like Superman.
Oh, Henri.
So I'm going with Thierry.
It is Superman.
Oh.
Wow.
Was he going through one of the dark sides?
I don't know.
Superman turns dark. So they do.
The Ben Affleck film.
These superheroes do have their moments, don't they?
Don't thank me. We're all part of the same team. Good night. Henri or Superman?
Superman.
He's Superman. So few people recognise me, I can do what anyone does. Henri or Superman?
Yeah, well, that's got to be Superman with his glasses on, surely.
Mm, no, Superman. It's Henri.
Wow.
So that was quite fun, wasn't it?
I was glad in a way that a lot of Supermans were, you know, that we thought were Thierry Henry, were actually Superman, you know. So there's a, they're almost the same, ain't they?
He was quite pretentious, wasn't he, Thierry Henry?
Oh, I thought you meant Superman.
I mean, I love him.
I wouldn't say pretentious, maybe wise, you know. I think, you know, forthright.
We've got no one's come up with any Sherringham story this week, I'm afraid.
Oh, no.
Sorry about that. Okay. Oliver, who sent us that on Real Superman quiz, has got a Lee Dixon anecdote. He took his dad on the Emirates Stadium tour as a Father's Day gift, and they showed the time capsule that's buried under the player's entrance.
Which could be sludge now, for all we
could
know.
Be. Could be.
It's Danielson's boots.
There's a new untreatable pandemic brewing under there. He proudly explained that it was full of Arsenal artifacts of the past, and they had another spot earmarked for a second time capsule in 50 years' time. Dixon, who was visibly bored of the company-approved spin, cut in and said, well, that's no good. There'll be nothing in it. Ouch.
Ooh.
Oh, Dicko.
Lee.
Boom.
Boom.
That's pessimistic.
I was going to ask, is Matt Ryan our first Australian?
No.
Because we had John Cosmina, remember?
Ah. It was a good save he made, wasn't it? That was a good save.
I don't like him. I think he's good.
He likes to come out a little bit, though,
doesn't
he?
Team would you pick? What team would you pick for Villarreal on Thursday? What would you do?
Tierney
and goal?
Gabriel. Yeah,
would
Tierney.
You go Gabriel ahead of Mari? Is that because of the corner cock-up?
I don't know. I wouldn't be too disappointed with either, to be honest. Mm.
David Luiz or Holding?
I don't think Luiz is going to make it, is he?
No,
he went off.
He went off with a hamstring.
Because his passes were quite good, weren't they?
He can hit a good ball.
That raking ball, yeah.
Holding on Mari, then. Holding on Mari or Holding on Gabriel or Chambers and Holding or Chambers and Gabriel.
You know what? I'm not overly... I think Holding's got the call, hasn't he?
He made him captain last week.
Yeah.
He can't decide who he wants to be captain, can he? Different captain every game.
I'm captain next week.
So you're going Holding Gabriel. You've dropped Pablo. Okay. So you can. You're allowed. Keifu, you have it right back. You can't decide. It's your position. It's your position, Keith. Right back. Remember? Remember the days of the Ford League?
I'd have Chambers, Holding, and then... And then Mari, I think.
Yeah, and Kieran Tierney, hopefully.
Kieran Tierney or Cedric. Not Granite.
I think Thomas Partey in midfield, right?
Midfield, yeah.
Who would you have with him?
Do you know what? I think I'd go with Elneny.
Yeah?
I'd probably...
Because we need someone. Listen, they're going to come at us at some point where we're going to, you know, if we get a goal, they're going to come at us. So I think, you know, you need someone steady. So I think the Partey on anything would be a good combo.
So Xhaka dropped.
I reckon he would go, if Tierney's back, I think he would put Xhaka in the midfield.
He will, but what would you do?
Elneny.
Yeah. Okay, moving on. That. Was
this
a
is
classic,
riveting.
Classic Damien Harris contribution.
And this is what we like if you ask him, are you coming to the pub? You get the same
kind of... If you're getting around in and you say, do you want a drink? That's what you get. That's exactly that noise. That should be your ringtone. I don't know. Should I?
I'll have a shandy.
There's a train. Go on then, half a shandy. What's the point? You might as well have just had water. Go and drink out the toilet.
It is true, yeah. We're going to have a milk. You're going to come
Are you going to have a Bamiyang centre forward in this lineup Thursday night?
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, listen, he's got a goal. I think he's mojo back. He's cut his silly hairstyle off. That's gone, isn't it? So
Bamiyang's up front.
Yeah.
So then we're looking at three creative players.
Probably Pepe, Bukayo Saka. I think he'll go with... Well, it depends whether he goes for Smith Rowe and Odegaard. Smith Rowe's been a little off the pace, I've thought, the last...
You might drop Smith Rowe. Martinelli's there as well. There's five subs. That's always a thing, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, he's not been as effective, I don't think.
So maybe you're saying Saka, Odegaard and Pepe...
Behind Aubameyang. I'd be happy with those. I would be obviously equally happy with Smith Rowe, but I think he might go for that.
He plays well with as a 10 with Saka, doesn't he? That's
yeah.
It's that combination, Martinelli, and the three of them wouldn't be a bad idea. But Pepe's form was been okay. So
yeah, I think he's been. I think he's.
He looks a bit more assertive, like he's grown up a bit. I think he really, when he came, the fee was enormous. The expectations were high. And he really didn't look ready at all, did he? In the first year he was at Arsenal, he just didn't look ready.
No. The way he took that penalty.
He looks a bit better now. He took the pen well.
He was confident. I feel he's...
And actually, when he came all against Newcastle, there was a bit of fight in him there, even though the game was over. Yeah. He did seem to want to get involved.
The fee is a lunatic bit of nonsense. And that really is a moment of madness.
Yeah.
But given that money's gone...
It's in the past.
Yeah, we didn't go for Grealish or Zaha. We went for him, and we have to make the best of it.
I'm glad
we've done, though. We're only fans.
You moved on, Alan. Let it go.
All right, I'm going to do you a spot of the commentary before we knock this shambles on the head. There's three good ones here. I think you'll like these. I'm going to fire up the first one, see if you can get the game.
Now Edu. Javier Diaz, well placed. And gets his first Arsenal goal. What a moment for that young man.
Newcastle Ooh. Away.
In FA Cup?
No.
No? Oh.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, the listeners to this are now going mad. They're shouting. They're on a bus. They've got their headphones on and they're shouting.
Did you get the goal scorer? Did you hear
it? Edu?
No.
Oh.
Oh.
Edu was involved in the build-up, played a pass down the left-hand side to Thierry Henry, and Thierry Henry looked up.
Franny Jeffers.
It wasn't Franny Jeffers. It was a similar situation where Henry had obviously decided, I'm going to give this kid a goal, as he was so capable. He really, how good was he, Henry? Oh, man, honestly.
Nicholas
he decided
Bentner.
He was going to do that. It was that. It was Ali Adier.
Ah,
oh.
Ali Adier.
Yes, against Milan?
No.
No? Oh, totally wrong. It's
Norwich.
What day of the week is it? Yeah.
I'll just list. Cambridge United.
It was West Bromwich Albion.
Ah.
We beat them 5-2. It was an evening game. Let me see. It was early in the season, August 2002. At Highbury, Ashley Cole scored in the third minute. Lauren scored. Wiltor got two, and Ali Adier scored in the 90th minute.
I heard an interview with him. He was really well spoken. I think he was publicising his book, but he got a bit of a raw deal, didn't he? Go to Celtic. I think he finished his career, and then I think he was at Middlesbrough. I think he went to Celtic though, and he got a raw deal. He just wasn't getting the games, but he sounded a really great guy. It's a shame he never worked out for him at the Arsenal.
He just couldn't score a goal, could he?
He got a lot of injuries, you know. Yeah,
he was that injured a lot. That's very true. So that's that one. That's Ali Adier. Now let's see if you can get this one.
Arsenal throw. Stapleton. This is Talbot. Sunderland. Looking for the 1-2 with Stapleton and gets it. And still got it. Dangerous situation. And it's in the net. And it's an own goal. But fine play by Stapleton back in the first team today. And Sunderland causing havoc along the byline there. And the misfortunate Brendan Batson got a touch to it. So Arsenal go ahead, Batson scoring for his old club.
Batson. Brendan Batson.
Yeah. Obviously West Brom.
Right. Was West Brom?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yeah. It was West Brom. Brendan Batson scored an own goal for West Brom against Arsenal, or for Arsenal, rather. Do you want to have a stab at the season?
82.
78.
It was the 80-81 season. Brady had left in the summer. And and that game actually finished 2-2. I think Brian Robson was playing for them. So, yeah, Brendan Batson, it was under the North Bank, stuck it in his own net. No memory of it either.
No.
Of it. Just slightly.
Great days.
I've sort of taken the, as if I'm talking to a couple of people with Alzheimer's. The long-term memory is sound. There's no way they'll remember Ali Adier's first goal. Mind you, that counts as long-term memory.
I'm surprised Jay
close
doesn't...
to 20 years ago.
Doesn't put tumbleweed or a dog howling in the background at these moments.
Perhaps he will.
He should do.
All right, well, on that, after that, there's absolutely not a cat in hell's chance that you're going to remember this goal or the opposition. But have a listen to the whole commentary. It's quite a long one, and then we'll discuss it.
Caswell. Shakespeare coming in at the far post, trying to turn it back. Blocked it into the arms of Jennings, who used the ball quickly for Alan Sunderland. Robson. Here's Hill. O'Leary picking his moment to come forward. Nicholas, that was beautifully delivered for Robson. Cairns couldn't keep it out, the shot was too strong, and after a dicey start, Arsenal get a goal that will come as some relief.
Right, so Stuart Robson got the goal.
Miserable Stuart Robson.
Where we have
played
him
with a little flip from Charlie Nicholas. I asked Jay to keep the beginning party where you heard Shakespeare mentioned.
Craig Shakespeare.
Now a slightly overweight coach.
So was it?
I think he's a villain West now, Brom. Isn't he? Not West Brom. No.
Wow.
No. It was a game at Highbury. It was a League Cup tie. And the 1983-84 season.
Was Stapleton still?
No, Stapleton wasn't in that clip.
Oh, okay.
No, Charlie Nicholas was there. Alan Sunderland's playing. O'Leary. There was a few. Colin Hill was playing. Chris White. And
trying to think who we played in there.
League Cup. 83.
Oxford. Sheffield. No. Walsall.
Yes.
Oh God, you can almost feel the dust clearing.
You can almost hear Google.
You can almost hear Google being fired up.
I cheat. in the spirit of Thierry Henry, I would just
he's
like
showing
to...
his hands to Richard Dunn.
Okay.
Well, terrible.
I've let myself down.
You've let yourself down. Did you actually Google that, you scum?
He did.
None of us have got any of them right.
But then you went, Walsall. And I, what an actor. Electric card, you cheated. Yes, it was a home defeat by 3rd Division Walsall at Highbury. The winning goal for Walsall. Pat Jennings made a string of saves. The highlights are on the YouTube. The winning goal for Walsall came after a ball was crossed into the area. It bounced and Chris White missed it, basically. And it just took a swing at it and missed it. Got the wrong side of it. His body was in the wrong place. It was an awful bit of defending. And it bounced and landed in front of their striker, who lashed it in the clock end net. And that was it for Terry Neal. That was good night, Terry.
Yes.
Terrible. I was a game that I'm sure you were there, Keith.
I was there, actually, yes. Oh, it used to, it was a horrible period, because then you had to go into work the night shift, and there was all West Ham fans. Well, two of them were in the City firms. They luckily took pity on me. They never beat me up. But so
you went to the game and then went to work after the
game? No, it'd be the morning shift. I would have done then, but no, it wouldn't.
Well, that was that. So that was that game. Craig Shakespeare playing for Walsall, and it wasn't a fluky win. They had loads of shots. They hit the bar. Jennings kept making saves. He made one unbelievable save, which I think that was Martin Tyler, wasn't it, on the commentary?
Yeah, a young Martin Tyler.
Shows how long he's been
making
the announcements at the Acenol. Do you remember? Our aim and intention is to eliminate the existence of Walsall FC, who humiliated the club. We have dropped a bomb, shock and awe in the Midlands. F you, Walsall. Next season, we bring you Internazionale Milano. For our tickets will be 1 billion euros. You want a season ticket? Cut off your cock.
You'd have to be a dedicated fan to do that.
Unbelievable. Do you remember the the Cardiff final when we played Man United in the FA Cup and we were full of the dun 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 dun?
Yeah,
taking the piss out of Man United.
We spent the whole game going every time they had a goal kick. Yeah, we're taking the piss out of their American ownership.
Yeah, USA.
Oh my God.
Yes.
I remember when Stan joined us, I said to Alan at the time, I said, you see, the one thing about Americans, though, is they like winning, Alan. They like winning. Well, wrong could you be? Who knew that? No, we had the only American in living history that likes to come 8th, 4th, 9th, 4th, 10th. Yeah.
I'll give you one last, before we wrap this up, I'll give one last quiz that someone has sent in. It's from David Bloomstein. Lifelong Arsenal supporter and erstwhile freeloading scum. He says, never ever stop podcasting. Oh, I can't make any promises on that front, mate. I've been doing this week in, week out, 50 odd times for a year now, and I'm boring myself. Okay, here we go. Story or Cronka? Number one, you have to help good people see how they have let their institutions do their sinning for them. All around the world, there are those who long to see your human goodness translated into a different, more compassionate way of relating with the rest of this bleeding planet.
Cronky or
Cronky
who?
Or Peter Story?
Peter Story.
Peter Story.
You have to help good people see how they have let their institutions do their sinning for them.
Oh,
all around
Peter
the
Story.
World, there are those who long to see your human goodness translated into a different, more compassionate way of relating with the rest of this bleeding planet.
She hasn't got Peter Story mixed up with Greta Thunberg by any chance.
It is Peter Story.
Wow.
And did he go a bit religious?
Maybe he did. I don't know.
He moved to France and started painting.
Our younger listeners, Peter Story was a tough tackling midfielder or occasional fullback for Arsenal. Much loved because he was an animal. And later on was convicted of pornographic offences.
Although it was counterfeit coins, but never mind.
Maybe it was. Whatever. Anyway, a wonderful, wonderful Arsenal legend. Anyway, number two. Arsene Wenger is just an unbelievable manager. I think he's a tremendous person and he's just as good as there is. You can't judge a manager on one game or on one stretch of games. You judge him over time.
Peter
Story or Stan Kroenke?
Oh, I want to go Story on this. I don't want it.
I'm going to go Stan.
It is Kroenke. Number three, economics is about creating win-win situations, but in sports, someone loses.
Well, that's got to be Kroenke, I would have thought.
It is Kroenke.
Yeah.
Once a place becomes special, it's no longer special.
Peter's story talking about his pornography collection.
Peter's story.
Maybe. That is
Mrs. Peter. Story clearing out under the bed.
That's Peter's story. Number five. I'm going to attempt to do everything that I can to keep the Rams in St. Louis.
That's got to be Stan.
That's, yeah, Stan the man. Yeah.
He Stan, didn't, you can, no. You can trust him about as far as you can throw him. That was Stan. Number six. I didn't feel any remorse or sympathy if I injured a rival. I went over the top a few times, but I never broke anyone's leg.
That's Peter's story. Good old Peter. That is
Peter's story. And finally, I always disliked that total "see you next Tuesday" Norman Hunter. He was a dirty. He was a dirty bastard.
Oh, I'd say Stan Kroenke.
Got to be Kroenke. Yeah.
So I was a little bit reluctant to read that one out, but there we are. R.I.P. well, lads, our season rests on Thursday night at the Emirates. It's a real bloody shame. It seems ridiculous that we can't go, or someone can't go in there. I've had a jab. I've got a mask. You know, I don't care who I sit next to. I want to be there, see if we can win that game, see if Bukayo Saka can work a bit of magic, Aubameyang can get a couple of goals, and we'll be through to a final, probably against Manchester United. Engineer a low block classic and win the cup, right?
That'll be nice.
That'd be great. Yeah, come on. Right, yeah.
We can do up it, the right? Gunners.
Yes. Cheers. See you later.
Bye.